again for just the privilege of coming to your presence, the privilege of worshiping you. Lord, the privilege of having you respond to our worship, respond to our gathering. Lord, the privilege of having you speak to us, and to encourage us, and to reveal yourself to us. Father, we ask you to continue that ministry among us this morning. Continue as your word comes forth. Lord, give us insights and understanding. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, that we might see and glean revelation from your word. Father, above all, we pray that Christ be seen as your word comes forth and that he would receive all the glory. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
And amen. So I've been talking about the kingdom of heaven. And so I want to continue that today. I want to share a little bit about the mysteries of the kingdom. As I've said before, the Jews were expecting to see Messiah come and expecting to see the kingdom of God break through in their time. But they had an expectation that was different from what Christ came and did. They were looking for the real physical manifestation of the kingdom of God. But Christ came first to make a way so that we could enter the kingdom. And then he taught them principles about the kingdom and revealed to them that when he returns, the physical kingdom will be established. But between now and his return, he is still working by his spirit. His kingdom is still on the increase. And there are things that we can glean and understand about the kingdom that Christ shared with his apostles in the Gospels. And some of these things are called mysteries of the kingdom. So most of you know that Jesus spent a lot of time speaking in parables and teaching using parables. And a parable is basically a story that is based upon something that is real, something that is normal around them, but Christ then gives it a theological meaning, theological insights, using things around them to teach principles of the kingdom. So turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 3. Of Matthew chapter 13. He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell among the road, and the birds came and ate them up. And others fell upon rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had arisen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Verse 9 says, "He who has ears, let him hear." Verse 10, the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" So why are you speaking to us in parables? If we ask people that today, we hear all different types of answers. Some say, well, you know, because parables are stories, people can remember them better. Maybe true, maybe not, because there's something about stories I've found in my situation where you tell me a story and halfway through I stop listening. Or down the road, I forget what they said and I make up the other part of the story. So, I don't know. But the truth is, Christ spoke the parable and left it at that. He didn't explain it. He just spoke it, just as we read before, about the sower going to sow seeds. He sowed the seeds. It's something that they understood in their culture and in their time, that as they sow the seed, it's going to fall in different types of soil, different types of situations. But he didn't explain anything. He just walked away and left it at that. And so they were a little bit perplexed. I mean, why are you telling us these stories and you don't explain them to us? Basically, what the apostles are saying. Why are you telling us all these stories and just leaving us like that? And so Christ goes on to explain why he speaks to them in parables. Verse 11. And he answered and said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. In other words, the parables reveal some mysteries of the kingdom. A mystery in biblical context really means something that was hidden in the past, but now Christ is going to make them known. Some truths, some ways in which kingdom functions, some ways in which God sees things. So he tells them a parable and leaves it at that. Verse 12. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he who has an abundance, but whatever does not have, even what he has shall be taken from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah has been fulfilled. It says, you will keep on hearing but will not understand, you'll keep on seeing but will not perceive. So Christ spoke to them in parables because there are some things about the mindset, primarily of the Pharisees around him, that they weren't really interested in knowing the mysteries. They weren't really interested in truth. They just wanted to get their point across, and they just wanted to find a way to trap Christ in what he was saying. So rather than spending his time trying to explain these things to them, he just told them the story and left it at that. You know, there are some people, if you're in a discussion with them, they're not really listening to you on your point. They're just waiting until they get a chance to jump in to say something else. And they're not listening to you whatsoever. You can talk from now till next week. They're not listening to you. They have their agenda. This is what they want to say. And they're going to say no matter what. And you can speak all sort of stuff. It's irrelevant to them. If you're like that type of person, ask the Lord to help you. But the Pharisees were like that. They were not listening to Christ to gain insights. As far as they were concerned, they are the ones who have been through the Pharisaical schools. They understand all truth that is to be understood. So they were just trying to find something to trap him in what he said, something to try and disprove what he says. They weren't listening to gain insights. And Christ is like, why would I waste my time trying to teach you truth when you're not interested in truth? In fact, in Matthew 7 verse 6, it says this: do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. So there are people out there who are not interested in biblical truth, not interested in what the word has to say. And so you can talk and talk and talk, and they're not listening to you. I have discovered that, and so a lot of times I just listen to people and I won't take much time trying to convince them of anything otherwise, because they're not interested in truth. And so I'm just going to follow what Jesus did, and I'm not going to waste my time trying to convince them as to who Jesus is and how Jesus wants them to live. If they want to believe that what modern day society says about people can choose their gender and all sort of stuff, then go ahead. I don't have time to waste. If you want to hear some truth, I'll show you the scriptures, but if you're not interested, amen, I'm not going to waste my time.
Amen.
And that's what Christ was saying. So I speak to them in parables, so that those who want to know the truth will come afterwards and say, Lord, what does this parable mean? Lord, what is the theological things that is encapsulated in this parable? Those who want to know truth will seek him out. That's why he spoke to them in parables. And so I've listed several things there that is outlined here for us in Matthew 13. It says, verse 11, he answered them and said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom, because you have come and you have asked. So the parables contain mysteries of the kingdom, and those who want to know truth will seek me out and say, Lord, what does it mean? And I'll explain it to them. And that way you'll get more insight and more understanding. Those who think they already know what even they know, they're going to lose, because if you don't act upon what God has told you, you will lose it. Verse 14. So it says, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah has been fulfilled. It says, you will keep on hearing but will not understand. You'll keep on seeing but will not perceive. So another problem is the heart of these people has become dull. In other words, they weren't interested in learning anything more. They think they knew it. And so they were settled. So he was not going to waste his time with them. He says, and with their ears they scarcely hear. They have closed their eyes lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, and I should heal them. In other words, they're like, la la la, you can talk all the talk. I'm not listening, I'm not looking, I don't want to hear anything, I've made up my mind, I don't want to hear anything. That's how they work. Young people, you might end up going to some, if you end up going to college, you might end up finding some people at least in college. Some college professors and others who think that they already know everything. And so, if you start talking about certain things, they're like, you're wasting your time, they're not listening to you. The disciples themselves, they wanted to know truth. They wanted to understand, so he says, blessed are your eyes. That's verse 16, because they see, and your ears because they hear. So, he now comes to explain his first parable, which contains mysteries of the kingdom. Verse 19 of Matthew 13. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. As I reflected on this parable, it dawned on me again that I am responsible for the condition of my heart. It's not the Lord. You see, I am responsible for the condition of my heart. Say this with me. I am responsible for the condition of my heart. One more time. I am responsible for the condition of my heart. It's very, very important for us to grasp that. You see? So the sower, as Christ will go on to explain, is the Lord, and he sows the word. It's the word of the kingdom. The word concerning certain aspects of the kingdom is sown. And it's going to fall upon different situations, different heart conditions. And what this parable tells us here in at least in the first situation, verse 19, let me read it again. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and they don't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in the heart. So there is spiritual warfare taking place as it relates to the word of God. Yes. Spiritual warfare. The devil, whether he realized God or not, he understands the power of the seed of God's word. You see, he understands that if that word gets lodged in a place where the heart is good soil, it's going to bring about a change. And so he doesn't want you to change. He wants us to stay in our own place of ignorance, our own place of unfruitfulness, because as we have mentioned before, God is a God who looks for fruit. John 15 says, you know, if you bear fruit, he's going to prune you, but if you don't bear fruit, he's going to cut you off. But he wants us to remain in him and his word abide in us, so it might bear fruit. Yes. So he's looking for fruit, just like any one of us who plant seeds, plant tomatoes, plant your peppers, whatever else you plant, you're looking for fruit. Yeah. You're not just interested in a nice tomato plant. You examine the leaves and say, what a nice tomato plant. You're like, I want fruit. And when I was young, I was always hoping the fruit would come overnight. Always, you know, like, why is this thing taking so long to produce fruit? And you all know the process, you know, it's gonna pop some a little bulb first and a little blossom or whatever it is before you get the fruit, and then it'll take a while before the fruit mature. But those are principles concerning the word of the kingdom, as we are gonna go on and see. That you hear the word today and you think you're going to have fruit tomorrow. And well, sometimes you do, but most of the times you don't. Most of the times it takes a while. So here Christ is saying, you receive the word and you don't fully understand it. You might have a principle of the kingdom, might have a principle about giving, all the aspects of the things of the kingdom. You hear it, but you don't understand. And the devil comes along and snatches that word, takes it away. You see, it's a word sown by the wayside. The wayside tells me that it's a path that people walk on a lot, so it's hardened. Nothing can grow there. And so you have a hardened heart. And you can hear the word over and over, all across this country, all across the globe. And it doesn't change you one bit. Because it's a hardened heart. And so before you know it, the devil comes and snatches that word away. And your condition remains the same. It's principles, mysteries of the kingdom. Because what Christ is showing is that you can have people right here, people in different churches, hearing the same word, but it has a different, produce a different thing in each life. Some people remain the same. They go to church for years, and they never change. Have the same bad attitude. It's for you and for me to deal with our hearts, to soften our hearts, to ask the Lord to help us, and our hearts become good soil, so that they don't hear the word and just, well, I'll think about that tomorrow. And by the time tomorrow comes, the word is gone. It's sad sometimes. I ask people, what did the pastor share on last week's Sunday? I think he read from the Bible, but I don't remember exactly where he read from. So the word hasn't even been planted because he can't even remember what the word was. I encourage you to take notes sometimes so that you can at least have something to look back on. Then the second one, he says, verse 20, and the one on whom the seed was sown on rocky places, the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Man, I love that word. Good word, Pastor. Yeah, good word. But he has no firm root in himself, that's verse 21. But it's only temporary. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Because again, things are going to come against us. God is going to allow us to be in different situations, and the enemy is going to also come against us. And if our hearts are not right, then that word is going to be lost, and you're going to end up being unfruitful. So don't forget that when you hear the word, it's going to be tested. You're going to be tested. It might be a word I'm giving. You know? Yes, I hear that God blesses me so that I can give. What a wonderful God. What a kind God. Yes, I'm excited. And I know that God is going to meet all of my needs of conscience, which is in glory. Amen. Hallelujah. 6 months down the road, your car breaks down, your washing machine breaks down, you lose your job, and suddenly this idea of giving becomes foreign. Why would God want me to give when I'm going through all this stress and all this difficulty in life? And suddenly the word becomes unfruitful. You stop giving. Amen. And then you blame God when more difficulties arise. It's not God's a problem, it's our hearts are our problem. You see? One of the things I liked about our brother Eric, who's gone to be with the Lord, one of the things he kept saying to his family is, don't get mad at God. Whatever he's going through, whatever you may go through, don't get mad at God. And he wanted them to have this sealed in your heart. So that no matter what happens, no matter what difficulties go through, you know that God is still a good God. God still loves us. Yes. He will see us through. It's easy to get excited to hear a testimony of God breaking through for somebody else, and you get excited. But when it's your turn, you know, to prove the word, suddenly you're like, well, why me, Lord? Yeah. Why me? When you're excited for the word to bring forth fruit, it has to go through some stuff. It's mystery to the kingdom. The third condition, verse 22, the one of whom received a stone among thorns is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. The desire for other things. I have to make ends meet. I need to prosper. I need to, you know, invest more time in my career. I need to do all of these type of things. And it chokes the word. And then you have the other person now whose heart is tender, whose heart is already plowed. They're saying to God, God, I want to know you more. Lord, will you plant your word in my heart? Father, will you deposit your word in me and cause it to bring forth fruit? Lord, no matter what it costs, I'm going to go through with it. And then that's the person the Bible says that it brings forth fruit, and it different measure based on different conditions. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. But it brings forth fruit. So this is a mystery of how the seed of God's word works in the life of people. And you and I can look on and we can say, man, look at how that brother has matured in the Lord. But you don't realize that he had to go through his own stuff and deal with his own issues so that the word can bring forth fruit in his life. It didn't happen overnight. We talk about things like forgiveness. Easy to hear, but more challenging to practice. And until you go through some of the things where people stab you in the back and say, oh man, I've stuff against you, and you learn to forgive and still experience the joy of the Lord, you really don't understand the principles of forgiveness yet. You see, I've heard of people who are so excited for the message of forgiveness until they are the ones that somebody abused. And suddenly they say, well, this one is unforgivable. Yeah. You don't understand the mystery of the word. Yeah. You're going to experience some situations like that. So you can learn to mature and produce fruit in the Lord. The parable of the sower. We have to abide in the Lord and his word abide in us for it to bear fruit. You cannot produce fruit apart from the vine. So you can't just hear the word and not be in the word and spending time with the Lord and expect it to bear fruit. It's not going to happen. Because it's the Spirit of God who helps us to go through the different things that come our way so that the word can bear fruit in our lives. So that we can mature. So that we can become what God wants us to become. I can use all different aspects of the principles of the kingdom to help us to appreciate the way in which the word works. You know, it could be something like, I don't know, responding to authority. Someone's great until things don't go the way you want it to go, and suddenly you have a problem with authority. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the parable of the tears. It's verse 24, because Jesus goes on to tell them parables, and very few things he spoke to them without a parable. Verse 24 says, he presented another parable to them saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to, some versions say, is like. It may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed tears among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprang up on more grain, then the tears became evident also. And the slaves and the landowner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Or then does it also have tears? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The slave said to him, do you want us to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tears, you may root up the wheat also. Another parable he tells them. And it's later down that he explains to them this parable. Verse 36. Then he left multitude and went into the house. And the disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the tears of the field. So you see how Christ does it. He tells them the parable and he just walks away, leaving to figure it out, knowing that they won't, and that those who really want to understand the things of the kingdom will come and say, explain to us this parable. So the disciples, the ones whose hearts were open, the ones who wanted to know more, came and sought out the Lord. And he explained the parable to them. He says, a field is a world. And that's verse 38. As for the good seeds, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tears are the sons of the evil one. So again, you see the devil is involved. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. So what Christ is saying then is that what we are going to find around us are people who are part of the kingdom, and people who, the secret here is that tears, they tell me, when they are young, or this wheat when they are young, it's hard to differentiate them from tears or weeds, basically. They look sort of similar. And so the Lord says, leave them, let them grow together. Let there be, as you're going to see, people of the kingdom, people of the enemy, side by side. You don't even know who is who. Verse 40. Therefore, just as the tears are gathered up and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels and will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. So Christ is saying then, this is it. Now is not the time to try and separate them. You find it, for example, again, to use the example of what we call the church, people who gather together. And within that gathering, there are people who are sons of the kingdom and people who may not be sons of the kingdom, but it's hard for you and me to know because they may be young believers, and so when they're young, they may look just like weeds. So Lord says, it's not your job, not my job, to try and separate those who are from the kingdom from those who are not. Let them grow together until the harvest. Amen. Not my job to weed out people, not my job to try and figure out who is who. As an individual and as a leader, I'm called to function basically to speak God's word, to be involved in sowing the seed. And allow the seed to produce in our lives whatever condition our hearts may be. But it's not for me to come and try and figure out, well, that one might be a sheep. But that one looks like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Because I said, he might just be a young believer. And you might weed out somebody who is generally trying to go after the Lord, but they have some major struggles. You don't know. I don't know. So leave it alone. The Lord will figure it out in his own time at the end of the harvest. The challenge for you and for me is to make sure that each one of us, that we are genuinely going after the Lord. As you are genuinely seeking to cultivate a relationship with the Lord. As you genuinely want to know the Lord, so that on that day he doesn't say, depart from me and I knew you. That on that day he doesn't say, well, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I heal in your name? And he's like, I never knew you. You and I have that responsibility to make sure that we are children of the kingdom, to make sure that we are going after the king, to make sure that we are cultivating a relationship with the Lord. And it's not my job, it's not your job to try and weed out the tears from the wheat. Leave them alone until the harvest. Now sometimes my own pride, I would like to be able to say to people out there, you know, at Cross Creek, everybody there is a son of the king. We don't have tears in our church. That's not my job. I'm just glad that people turn up. So I can share a word. And it's between you now, between me now, and the Holy Spirit to respond and act upon the word. And so Christ was explaining in for the mysteries of the kingdom. Stop trying to figure out who is who. And just encourage everybody to go after the Lord. Encourage everybody to grow in the Lord. Encourage everybody to seek to allow the Spirit of God to produce the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. The last parable I want to spend a little time talking on this morning is the parable of the talents. That one comes later on in Matthew 25. A story that most of us know about. They see a talent. I put some notes here. Perhaps weighed about 75 pounds, but it was really a value of money. And the scholars out there, they all have different ideas as to what the value was. Some say it might have been as much as 3 months. Salary, some say it might have been a year or more salary, but it was a lot of money. It wasn't just a $10 thing, it was a lot of money that when it talks about a talent. So, verse 14 of chapter 25, talking about the kingdom, it says, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who calls his own slaves and entrusts his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey." So again, you know the story. That is the master who calls, and he gives us talent based upon our abilities. It's the gifts you have, it's the training you have, it's the experience you have. Any one of these can be classified as a talent that he has given unto us based upon our abilities. According to what Christ says here, the one who gained, who got 5, he went and used his 5 and got 5 more. The one who got 2, used his 2 and got 2 more. And the one who got 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his 1 talent. And figure, well, I don't want to lose it, but it's a lot of money, so you should be able to invest it, but I don't want to lose it, I don't have much, so I'm going to put it somewhere where, you know, when he turns up down the road, I can give it back to him. Well, the Lord turns up. Verse 19 of Matthew 25. Now after a long time, say a long time. After a long time, the master of those days came and settled account with them. So it was no overnight thing. Yeah. It wasn't like a 2-week trip. It's a long time, enough time where perhaps after several months you could say, you know what, perhaps I should really invest this thing. You know? Perhaps I should really use it. But he said, no, I'm not going to use it. Those people that cross me, look at their faces. Man, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to hide this thing. Not going to use it. After a long time, the master comes. Verse 20, and the one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more. Saying, "Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me, and I've gained 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things." I mean, you got 5, and the Lord called it a few things. You are faithful with a few things. The idea behind this parable is that God is looking for faithfulness. Amen. See, faithfulness. He's not looking so much to see if, you know, how people respond to you. He's looking at how you are faithful in using the gifts and talents and abilities that he has given to you. That's what he's looking for. So we might have to do some things with fear and anxiety in our hearts. You might have to do some things without looking at people, without being concerned whatever feedback you get from people, because we are doing it as unto the Lord, as seeking to be faithful to the Lord, not so much how different people might respond to us. And so the one who had 5, he earned 5 more. And he got the commendation from the Lord. It tells me that God is not just interested in saving us, but he's interested in us being faithful. And on that day, he's going to ask us to give an account of how we use the gifts and abilities and experience and and resources that He has given to us. He's going to ask Joe Campbell, what have you done with the talents that I gave you? But Lord, you don't understand those people. When I look at their faces, I got scared. Lord, you don't understand, Lord, that thing you told me to write. When I gave it to the first critic, they had so much criticism, I just stopped writing. Lord, you don't understand. No, He's looking for faithfulness. Start with the small things. Do the things that you know God has given you the ability to do, and do it as unto the Lord. Yes. That's how the kingdom functions. Yes. So the one who got two, and back in Matthew chapter 25, verse 22, the one also who had received two talents came and said, Master, you entrusted to me two talents. See, I've gained two more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. It's important to also see in this parable that he's saying that our faithfulness in this life will determine what responsibilities, what privileges we have in the next life. So he says, you've been faithful. And a few things, I'm going to give you some responsibility in the next life. In other words, when this kingdom is established, we're going to get responsibilities based upon how faithful we've been in this life. He's a reasonable God. He's like, this time I'm just going to haphazardly give you responsibility after I gave you, 70 years here, and you didn't do anything with it. No. It's going to be based upon our faithfulness. And He's not going to assess us based upon somebody else. His lessons are based upon me, upon you, upon your abilities and what He has given to you. So I need to stop looking at the man who has five and try to compare myself with that man. That's his responsibility with the Lord. And I might only get two, so let me be faithful with my two. In fact, maybe I only have one. Let me be faithful with my one. That's what he's looking for, faithfulness. And so the idea here is that in the kingdom, faithfulness is key. It's key. There's so many people I've met. They're quick to jump off to do something, but they don't want to be faithful and carry it through. They can tell you all sort of stuff, but they don't want to be the one to help you to carry it through. One of the things I've decided for myself, you know what, Lord, I'm going to be faithful to what you have shown me. Yeah. Harry and Mary might come and say other things. Well, if God show you that, you go and do it. But I'm going to do what God has shown me. You see, be faithful, using the resources and the abilities that God has given to each one of us. That's how the kingdom functions, that's the principles of the kingdom. So let me read verse 23 again. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. You see the switching words there? Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received one talent came up and said, Master, Lord, I know you to be a hard man. Reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. Lord, I know you. Did you really know the Lord? I know you're a hard man. Is the Lord really a hard taskmaster? Verse 25, here's the key. I was afraid. I was scared. I didn't want to make a mess of things. I didn't want them laughing at me. I didn't want to look like a fool. I didn't want any criticism. And one of the things I've discovered is that if you're going to do something for the Lord, sooner or later, somebody's going to criticize you. So, keep your eyes on the Lord. Listen to the criticism. Assess it. But don't allow that to stop you from being faithful to the Lord. So, I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, I have it here. You and I know just in the recent year, Our inflation eats away the value of things. And what you could have bought with $10 2 years ago, you can't buy it anymore. So giving the Lord this talent after a long time is worth less than what the Lord actually gave it to you. And you expect the Lord to say, well done? You haven't done anything. So here, but Lord, I know you're a God of mercy, and a God of love, and a God of grace. Yes, that's why you're saved. But if you weren't faithful in the talents and the time I gave you, where would I put you in this position of responsibility when I established my kingdom? That doesn't make any sense. So the Lord responds to him. His master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave. Is this the Lord that you've heard about, this loving God? This gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He said, you wicked and you're lazy. In my day, they'd say, you're worthless. Maybe your parents wouldn't tell you that, but my parents would. I sent it to school and all they get is F. You're worthless. Put in some time and some effort. You wicked and lazy slave. You knew that I regret not so and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to put my money somewhere where I could get some interest in the bank, invest it. And on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. In other words, the money might have retained its value. So what the Lord does, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who had five. Because he's looking for faithfulness. Verse 29, to everyone who has more shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who doesn't have, even what he doesn't have shall be taken away. That's the principle. The Lord will reward us for faithfulness. Even in this life, he gives you more responsibilities, open up more doors. Verse 13, cast, sit here. Oh, the word worthless must be somewhere. And cast out the worthless slave into the utter darkness, in that place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're talking about the mystery of the kingdom. That the parables contain truths about how the kingdom functions and how the Lord sees things. And he's saying to each one of us, I've given you abilities. I've given you resources. I've given you gifts. Use them faithfully so that my purposes can be advanced. Because on that day, you have to give an account. I have to give an account of how I use the abilities and gifts and talents and resources that the Lord has given me. Let's stand. So I ask you, I challenge you, are you using the gifts and abilities and talents and resources that the Lord has given to you? Are you being faithful in using them for the purposes of the kingdom? Or are you finding excuses for not using them? Now is a great time to assess yourself. Now is a great time to ask the Spirit of God to help you to use the gifts and abilities he has given to you. Let's just bow our heads. Father, I pray for each of us here this morning. That first, oh God, we would allow our hearts to be good soil. Yes. That, Lord, you might help us to have a tender heart before you. Help us to have a heart that is willing to receive your word and to allow your word to work in us, irrespective of what circumstances might come our way, irrespective of the persecution and the challenges, irrespective of the cares of this life. Lord, may we have a heart that will hide your word so that your word can bring forth fruit in our lives. Because Lord, you give us your word, not just so we can tickle our ears and feel good, but Lord, you give us your word so that your word can shape us and change us and transform us. So Lord, I pray for each of us, Lord, that you might help us to have good hearts, good soil, to receive your word. Lord, help us not to be those who would seek to judge who's in the kingdom and who's not, but instead help us, Lord, to ensure that we are seeking after you, to ensure that we are living as children of the kingdom, to ensure that we are encouraging others to go after you and to seek your face. And Lord, finally, Lord, we ask you, help us to be faithful with the little that you have given unto us. With the little talent that you have given unto us, the little abilities you have given unto us, the little training you have given unto us, the little resources you have given unto us. Help us, Lord, not to be afraid to use all of these things, oh God, for your purposes. Lord, we know, oh God, we might mess up sometimes, we might fail sometimes, we might say the wrong thing sometimes, but Lord, may we not draw back because of those things. But let us, oh Lord, to realize that we will have to give an account to you for how we use all of the things you have given unto us. Lord, help us to do so with joy. Lord, help us to serve you, oh God, with gratitude. Lord, help us to see the privilege to be used by you, to be entrusted by you with things. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's just sing this song. Go ahead.
Song, heaven's mercy.
Is there anybody in this house that you know you need to recommit yourself to the Lord this morning? Or perhaps give your life to Him for the first time. And you say, Pastor Drew, I want to do that. Just raise your hand quickly. Anybody in this house need to recommit themselves? That lady that my wife and I, one of the ladies, but the last one we prayed for, Liza Avram, is her name. We went into our store and I saw that she was limping. So I'm talking with her, asked if we can pray for her, and we prayed for her. And she experienced the presence of God. She was there saying, I just want to cry, but I know my boss is watching. And I feel all this tingling all over me. And the Lord touched her. All of her pain wasn't gone, but a lot of it was. And we just sowed the seed of the word. She kept saying, thank God. We kept saying, it's Jesus. Because, you know, they're in Greece, they have all sort of gods. Because Athens is named after the god Athena. The place is full of the rebuilding temple for Athena upon the one of the high places in the city. And I want her to know it's Jesus. And so we prayed for her, and as I said, she got touched, and she has been watching some of our services since then. In fact, since I'm here, she sent me a message. This one sowed a seed. That's our job as citizens of the Lord, as part of our faithfulness. Let's share the love of God. Let's let people know that Jesus is still alive and He's still working. If we can be faithful in that alone, I believe the Lord will be well pleased. Just in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So Lord, we thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that was shed so we can be forgiven, so we can stand holy before You. Father, this week I pray, might open our eyes to see the opportunities to share Your love with others. Open our eyes, oh God, to might see the opportunities to share Jesus Christ with others through action and through words. Lord, open our eyes that we might hear and see the condition of people all around us and be moved, oh God, to intercede for them. Lord, I pray as we leave that Your Spirit might rest upon us, continue to draw us unto Christ and continue to lead and direct us. Lord, I pray this in Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
And amen. You are dismissed.